Go to Philippians chapter 3, please. I want to continue from last week. By the way, Thor is getting better. I sent an email out about praying for Thor. He's getting better. The fever broke. I'm out. There we go. I'm in. Philippians chapter 3, please. Let's go there and discuss, I believe, what God is kind of starting out for the new year, kind of helping us approach the new year. How do we approach this new year? So Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Everybody there? So it's something I just want to make sure we get our hearts right going into the new year. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "And if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained, or are already perfected, but I press on." That's what we're going to do this year. We're going to press on. "We're going to press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." So we're going to lay hold of him as much as he has laid hold of me. Actually, in another version it says that we lay hold of what he has laid hold of for me. So there's things that he laid hold of, and it's up to us to lay hold of those things as well. Amen? Now, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting," underline that word, forgetting "those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." I know every time we go into a new year, we always talk about New Year's resolutions. Right, we always make New Year's resolutions. We always say, "Well, I'm glad 2021 is over with." Right, I'm tired of 2021. I'm tired of this place. You know, I'm looking to 2022 for new things. Right, the beginning of the year, we always do that. We kind of conjure ourselves up to think that 22 is going to be a little different. Right, the year is not going to be any different if your heart's not changed. Nothing changes unless you change. You know, yeah, there is, God does mark months and days and years. It is a new year, you know, and we always say, "Well, God's doing something new this year." Well, God did something new on the cross. God did something new in your heart when you accepted Christ. Thank you for your amens. God did something new in your life when you accepted Christ. That new is what we're striving for, right? So you really can't go into a new year and think it's going to change if you don't change. So here's the issue, and this is what the Greek literally says about the word forgetting. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." So how do we forget 2021? How do we forget the failures of 2020, of 2019? How do we forget the failures of our own lives? Well, the Greek for the word forgetting literally means this. It says that you get over what you've been hiding. That's what it literally says. I looked it up several times. It's a compound word. It says get over it. You know, we say just get over it. Right? You ever hear somebody say, "Just get over it." You know, "Oh, they hurt me. Just get over it." And we seem real callous when we say that, right? We seem not compassionate. Right? It's, just get over it. And you're like, "Well, you don't understand. They hurt me." So we need to, you know, we need to be a little bit more compassionate. But Paul literally says, he uses a compound Greek word that doesn't say forget up here. It says get over what you've been hiding. Everybody understand that? So look at this. He says, "I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." In other words, I'm getting over those things I've been hiding. And in order for me to go forward, he says, reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal. In other words, you can't go forward if you've got anchors stuck in the past, or if you've got your heart damaged by things. Most of the time you get damaged by relationships, let's be honest, right? It's always a relationship that hurts you, always. It's very rare that it's not a relationship. It could be an event, but it's always a relationship that somebody hurt you so bad that you carry this thing that you're hiding. And Paul says, you're not going to move forward unless you get over that thing you've been hiding. Now, you hide it from everybody around you. You put a smile on your face. You know, you put on the mask. But God knows you've been hiding something. God knows what's hurting you. And to be honest, let's call it what it is. It becomes a poison to you. Your hurt, the damage is really a poison to your heart. And God says you've been hiding this thing and it's been spreading. He says the only way you're going to move forward in 2022, and I hate to use this a year, but the only way you'll move forward in life, the only way you'll move forward spiritually, the only way you'll grow and get happy is if you get over that thing you've been hiding. Amen. So what a lot of us do, we don't want to face it. We don't want to confront our issue. Why? Because we hide it. Well, it's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal because you always respond according to that hurt. We're supposed to respond according to the Word of God, but we respond by what's in here, and in here is usually a hurt, baggage, something that really hurts really bad. And that's how we respond. So go to John chapter 4. Let's take a look at this response from somebody, a woman, who was hurt really bad by a relationship. And see how she responds and how Jesus deals with it. Last week we talked about Peter. Remember how Jesus dealt with him? How Peter said, I don't know you, 3 times? And Jesus dealt with him. He didn't go and throw it in his face and say, Peter, how dare you deny me? I can't believe you did that. I thought you were my friend. Go to John chapter 4. We'll talk about Peter in a minute. Go to John chapter 4. And it's the woman at the well. Everybody knows this story really well, right? Everybody know the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well? If you've seen The Chosen, a great version of it. Very great version. John chapter 4, verse 5. Let's start there. Everybody good? Yes, no, maybe so? Am I stepping on your toes? I'm going to reach, let's put it this way. The Word of God is going to reach areas in your heart that need to be dealt with. Otherwise, you can't, you'll always be stuck in the same way that the place that you're at. You're not going to advance. And then you're going to say, oh, that church doesn't do anything for me. God hasn't helped me. No, God's been trying to help you. You tried the Word. You know, the Word tried you and you failed. The Word never fails. You know, you say, well, I tried church, I tried the Word, I tried this church, that church, I tried the Holy Spirit, didn't work. No, it tried you, you didn't work. God will change you if you allow Him to get in those areas that you've been hiding. Yes, Mon. John chapter 4, verse 5, ready? It says, so He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, notice what he says. He says, give me a drink. Now, let me explain to you a little bit about a Samaritan or where she's coming from, okay? First of all, a Samaritan woman, a Samaritan is a half-breed, okay? It's half Jewish and half something else, right? So it's a half-breed. Like our kids are half-breeds. They're half Greek and half something else. Okay, all right, let me finish. Half Greek, which is the purest olive oil you can find on the planet. And everything is better with feta. And then the other half is half Italian and half Irish or German. Irish, right? So they're a quarter Italian, a quarter Irish, but half Greek, right? So that doesn't make them a pure breed, a pure bred, okay? Now, if you have a puppy and you have papers from AKC, right? AKC puppy, American Kennel Club, they will certify that your dog is a full breed. You can't get a certification unless it's a full breed. In other words, they know both parents, and both parents are full-breded blood. Good? So there is a stigma to people who are half-breeds. And I'm not trying to make you think you have a stigma because you're not a half-breed. In this day, there was. Especially if you were half-Jewish and half something else. You were called a Samaritan, and that came with a stigma of not being a full breed. And so, watch what she says here. But his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" He says, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So Jews, full-bred Jews, treated them harshly. They just looked down on them because they weren't full-bred. Everybody understand? Listen, look at American history. American history has looked down on a certain class of people. Nasty, bad. Even now, today, they look down on stuff. If you're not vaxxed, they look down on you. It hasn't stopped. You know, it was color of your skin, you know, for a couple hundred years, and then it just keeps changing. It just keeps changing, right? We just keep looking down on people. Christians don't look down on anybody. We don't look down. It doesn't matter, right? Even if a homeless man sat up front and he smelled, you sat with him. You let him sit up front. You gave him the best seat. He received communion like the rest of us. Why? You treat everybody the same. We don't look down on anybody, because they can inherit salvation just like you. And so in this case, now notice what she said. He says, "Give me a drink." She responds from her baggage. She says, "How dare you ask me to give you a drink? I'm a half-breed, and you guys you don't even respect me." Do you understand where her response is from? From the baggage the hurt that she's been harboring from Jews. When you can tell you've been hurt because you always respond from that place of hurt. And then you wonder, you know, people snap at you like, "I just asked you for directions. You know, what's wrong with you? What did you get? You didn't have your espresso today?" You know, right? You ever see people snap at you? You're like, what's the matter with you? What are you, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Well, you know what? You're on the wrong side. I just asked you a simple question. You don't have to snap at me. It's because of the hurt. You're hiding it. You can't hide it. It comes out. And everybody around you knows you've been hurt, but you're the only one who thinks that you've been hiding it. That's the truth. Watch this. It gets deeper. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Notice Jesus' response. Notice what Jesus is saying. He says, "I'm here to help you, lady." Now watch this. Let's continue. Now watch what the woman says. The woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then did you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank for himself and his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered and said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst again." Look at verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said, "Call your husband and come here." Notice he's dealing with her step by step by step. He says, he makes one sentence, he makes one comment, "Give me a drink," and bam, she lashes out at him. So now he's engaged in a conversation. I want you to notice how he's dealing with her to get the hurt out. He's trying to get it that she recognizes the hurt. You know what they say, you know, if you're in denial, right, you'll never get help until you acknowledge that you've been hurt. That's why you have to face your issue. Otherwise, it'll still be hidden. But I'm not saying face it and cry and, you know, they hurt me and go to therapy. I'm saying face it, get over it, let Jesus heal it. I'm not being harsh, just watch. Watch what we say here. Notice here it says this. He says, go call your husband and come here. Don't you think he knows that she's not that she's been divorced several times and not married? Of course he does. So he's playing with her. He says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, notice, he got her to a place where she's no longer lying. He says, now I can fix you. Ever try to help somebody? All they do is lie, 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 and then lie again. Like, I can't help you. Sorry. Jesus gave her one statement. He says, go call your husband, because he wanted to see if she could tell the truth. She did. He says, I can fix you. Even God can't fix you unless you're willing to face the truth. We want God to wave his hand, say, fix me, God, fix me, God. God's like, all right, let's work through this. Come to me. I'm going to ask you some questions, but you need to tell the truth. If you're not going to tell me the truth, you're not going to get over it. Now watch this. The woman answered, I have no husband. And Jesus said, well said, you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Notice he acknowledges, lady, you're capable of telling the truth. You're capable of it. You're capable of getting fixed. So she's living with a guy. But notice Jesus did not say, sinner, you can't even stay married. You're no. No, he never put her candle out. He never condemned her. He was just working, said, come on, tell me the truth. And he never went back at her and says, you can't even stay married. What's wrong with you? And you're living with a guy. Sinner. We got to stop that. We have to rehabilitate people, help people, bring them to Jesus so he can heal them. Now, watch this. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Why? Because he knew what she was going through. Now watch. Watch her next statement, because she's telling the truth, and out of her heart comes the real issue. She says this. She didn't talk about her husband's. Interesting, because she told the truth, she was able to reveal what's really hurting her. Watch. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that it's in Jerusalem is a place where you ought to worship. Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is now coming when you won't worship this mountain, the Father of Jerusalem, the Father, for you worship what you do not know, and so on. And then verse 23, but the hour is coming now that true worshipers will worship the Spirit. Blah, blah, blah. Let me stop right there. I know I'm mixing things up. But did you notice the question? She says, this, prophet, all I want to do is worship him. Let me tell you what she's saying. I want to be intimate with God. In other words, what she's saying is this. I have intimacy issues on the earth. I can't even have a husband. But if I can get my relationship right with him, I can fix my heart. Does everybody see that? She doesn't go anywhere but, I want to know God. Out of left field. Because she allowed Jesus to touch what she was hiding. And she comes down and says, I have an intimacy issue. I've been hurt by five men. And now this guy, probably not going to marry. He's probably going to hurt me too. But all I want is if I can worship him. Can you tell me about him? Pretty powerful. It's a heart thing. It's always a heart thing. And Jesus said, lady, all you got to do is worship him in spirit and in truth. That changed her. She goes, that's it? Yes, if you get your relationship with God right, you'll get your relationship with men right. He fixed her. Verse 25, and the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Notice now something is bubbling up inside of her. She's getting excited. She's no longer just a Samaritan, because now she acknowledges that Christ is for everybody. The woman, in verse 26, Jesus said to her, it's me, honey. I am the one. I'm the Christ. At this point, the disciples came. They marveled that he was talking to her. What do you seek? Who are you talking with her? And the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said, come and see who told me everything. Could this be the Christ? He just fixed her. Amen. Go to John chapter 8. Let's take a look at the woman caught in adultery. Woo. Interesting how these two women both have intimacy issues. Because I believe even men have intimacy issues. It's not just, but notice it's a heart issue. John chapter 8, verse 1. Ready? You there? It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and the people came to him and sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. So it's a setup. They knew what was going on. They said to him, teacher, this woman caught in adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. In other words, he's going, blah, 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 blah. Talk to the hand. The face is not listening. You can say what you want about her. You can tell me all these nasty things about her. I don't see that. I'm here to heal her. You see, the only time I think sometimes people come to church is when they're really down bottom and, you know, and they're afraid that somebody's going to rat them out, snitch on them, tell them all about their issues, that God's going to tell you all about your issues. No, God just wants to fix you. He wants to heal you. Now, let's continue. It says, now Moses in the law said, they said, testing him, that they may have something on which to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. So verse 7. So when they continued to ask him, he raised up himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. You know why the oldest left first? Because he had the most sin. He had years of practice. So the oldest guy's like, I'm out. Yeah, got me, Jesus. A good one. You know, I try to get you, but you got me. You're good. I'll get you next time. Total setup. And they said, Jesus, hit her with the law. Jesus' like, I'm not listening to you. I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to rehabilitate, to restore, to love, to fix, to heal. Notice how he deals with her. Next verse, verse 10. When Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, watch this, neither do I condemn you. Stop right there. Now, it's interesting, but the world loves to be forgiven. Let me just remember that. Notice Jesus says, I don't condemn you. They wanted him to condemn her. So if we stop right there, and that's where the world loves to stop. You know, just don't condemn me. Just forgive me and I'll be all right. You know, just leave me alone. You know, I know what I did. I'll deal with it myself. It almost seems very lenient of Jesus to allow her to sin. But the very next statement balances it out. And he says this. He says, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. In other words, he says this. He says, all right, I forgive you, but now this is how you stop. I'm going to give you some instruction on what you need to do next. The world does not like to be told what to do. The world only wants a pardon or forgiveness. You know, like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, judge, you know I went through the line, just forgive me. What does the judge do? All right, I forgive you, but if you ever do it again, this is what you do. We're going to take your license. And they're like, you don't have to beat me up. Like, no, I do have to beat you up because I have to balance out the forgiveness. Jesus balanced out the forgiveness with instruction on how not to do it anymore. He's saying, listen, get over your past, but don't do it again. Let's move forward and apprehend a prize. Let's forget those things that are behind us, and let's move forward, lady. Because I don't condemn you. I'm rehabilitating you. I'm fixing you. I'm showing you a better life. And that's don't sin anymore. People out there, the world hates it. Hates it when you tell them what they have to do. Nope, I want to live my life. Just, you know I screwed up. Leave me alone. I don't want to live my life. But Jesus says, no, the only way you can live your life is this way. If you keep living it that way, you're going to die and go to hell. And worse things will come upon you. Amen? Listen, it's better, I said this last week, it's better that our sin would shame us than damn us. It's better that our sin convict us than condemn us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you 10 quick things, because I want to finish with Peter again. 10 quick things about this woman. This thing that happened to her left a permanent stain, but only Jesus can wipe away that permanent stain. She was changed after this point. If you think you're so damaged that no one can help you, you have not met Jesus yet. If you think he is that powerless to not help you heal or help your issue, then you have not met him yet. He conquered death, hell, and the grave and rose from the dead. There is nothing else in there that is worse than what he went through. We heard this week, that their crucifixion always leads to death. Always. There's no way out of crucifixion. You can't get out of it. But Jesus went through that to overcome what you're going through. He crucified himself to take your issues, your baggage, and he crucified them. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. So if you really are crucified with Christ, then that very thing that is hurting you, the baggage, died. It did not escape crucifixion. Nothing escapes crucifixion. No one survives crucifixion. Your flesh cannot survive crucifixion. If you think you can't get fixed, you've never crucified your flesh. Does that make sense? Thank you, brother. Yes, sir. Let me give you a couple of lies. Let me give you a couple of lies that this woman is probably facing. Ready? Number one, she deserved it. Whatever she's going through, she deserved it. She deserved being an HORE, a whore. People just mistreated her. Well, that's what I am. That's what I'll always be. That's a lie. When you're a new creature in Christ, you're brand spanking new. Everything is washed away. The blood of Jesus can wash away any sin, any issue, any baggage, any fault. Here's another lie. You blame others for what happened to you. Now, of course, yes, others, you know what I mean, right? People do think, but you blame everybody. And when I say others, I mean everybody you ever meet. So whatever happened to you, you take it out on everybody you ever meet. That's what I mean by it. Here's another lie that this woman is facing. No one will ever really love me again. Here's another lie. Never cry. Never show your feelings. Never be weak. You'll never amount to anything. And the final lie she's probably listening to is you're worthless. Remember Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus was tempted in all points, went through every sin, every feeling you ever felt on the cross. Everything. And he overcame. Amen. All right, let's go to John chapter 21. Let's finish this up, huh? Let's finish this. John chapter 21. Let's finish this with Peter. Let's get this done. So Peter, remember what Peter did? He denied Jesus three times, right? John chapter 18. He denies Jesus three times, and now he walks away feeling like, if I didn't deny him, he wouldn't have been crucified. Maybe I caused him to be crucified. How can I deny him three times? I can't believe I did that. Now, 8 days later, 8 days after the resurrection, we find Peter going fishing, John chapter 21, right? He goes back to his old life. This is what he used to do. He's a fisherman. He goes fishing. He sees Jesus on the shore. Jesus calls him. He says, come and eat. Or let me say it in scriptural language, come and dine. So Peter jumps in, water, swims over to Jesus. The net was not broken. Remember I said that? The net wasn't broken. In other words, he's telling Peter, you're not broken. If you weren't here, you know what I'm talking about. Watch last week's sermon. All right, John 21, verse 12. Verse 11. John 21, verse 11. Watch how he deals with Peter, how he fixes Peter. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. In other words, there were so many sins that Peter had committed, he still wasn't broken. There's a reason why that's there. Because Peter identified as a fisherman. He went back to his old life, and Jesus made sure that it's in the Bible. John wrote it to show that his identity is still not broken. The net was not broken. Verse 12, and Jesus said to him, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of his disciples dared ask him, where are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Verse 13, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them and eat. Verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. So Peter denied him three times. And Jesus simply asks him three questions, one for each denial. Because Peter thinks he doesn't love Jesus anymore. Peter thinks he failed him because he denied him three times. So Jesus now sets the stage, calls a fire. Remember, it's only found in two places in the Bible, John 18, John 21, with Peter. He sets the stage. He doesn't throw it in his face. How dare you deny me? Peter, can we talk? You denied me three times. I'm very angry with you, and I need to tell you how I feel. How many of you have done that with people who sinned against you or hurt you? Jesus doesn't take that approach. He never does. We've got it all wrong. Every time woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, and now Peter, he never throws their sin in their face. Come on. Jesus said, what he does is he draws out what's already in them. He drew out the woman at the well, her intimacy issue. He says, all I want to do is worship God. I'll tell you how. The woman in adultery, I don't want to be condemned. I just don't. Here's, lady, here's how you stop. I love you. I don't condemn you. Here's how you stop. And now with Peter. Peter is hurt. He denied Jesus, his best friend, 3 times. And Jesus says, hey, do you love me? Yeah. Cool. Then do this for me. Then he says again, hey, Peter, do you love me? He says, of course. He goes, then do this for me. Then one more time. And now Peter's getting upset. Of course you know I love you. Got you. I got you, Peter. Stop feeling that way. I know you love me. You know you love me. Let's move on. Let's get this over with. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 17. And he said to the third time, Simon Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Watch this. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger and gird yourself and walk, by when you were old, you will stretch out your hand. Now he's giving him a little prophecy of his future. Watch this. Verse 19, watch. This he spoke, signifying by the death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, watch the last word he says to Peter. Follow me. Do you know the very first 2 words that Jesus said to Peter when he met him? Follow me. In other words, Peter, I ain't giving up on you. You don't give up on me. He went back to the beginning of their relationship. He said, let's just start over. Peter, follow me. And Peter's like, hey, that's the very first thing. You still want me to follow you? You still trust me, Lord? He says, yes, follow me. Jesus is a genius. I think he's a genius, right? Revelation 3, let's finish. Revelation 3, let's finish this. Revelation 3. Everybody good? All right. Revelation 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. You there? Revelation 3, verse 20. Watch what Jesus is saying. I believe this is what he was telling Peter, and I believe this is what he's telling everybody here this morning and everybody online. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Can I tell you the gospel message in one sentence? God loves you. God forgave you. Now come and dine. He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God has a blessing, a table, a porterhouse steak, whatever you like. Prime rib, chicken parm, tacos, enchiladas, oxtails. Whatever is your favorite food, he has it prepared for you. In other words, listen, he doesn't stop with, I love you, I forgive you. Now let's step over into the blessings that I have planned for you. I stand at your door right now. He's telling everybody here, I'm standing at the door of your heart right now, and I'm knocking at your heart. He's not knocking on your head or your flesh. He's not doing this, stop that, stop that. He says, I want to come and dine with you. I want to come in and live inside of you. I want you to come and live with me. He says, I'll come and dine with me and I with you. If you live in me and I live in you, it's a mutual relationship. Peter was healed at that point. He told him, I love you. I forgive you. Let's eat. That's why preachers like to eat after church. Let's go eat. We had church. Let's go eat. Amen. Amen. don't you stand to your feet, please? And I want you to really consider this morning. It's a new year. It's the second week, second Sunday. But there's a whole table set for you. There's a whole relationship with God that He's set before you. And if you don't let Him in your heart,